This is the Advanced Selling Podcast. The aim of this podcast is to help business sales teams grow their business with modern strategies and philosophies. Now, your hosts, Bill Caskey and Brian Neal.
Well, welcome back to the Advanced Selling Podcast. Bill Caskey.
Brooke Green.
We are here today. Brian Neal is not here. Do you ever notice he disappears this time of year? Do you think he's Santa?
He might be Santa. I've never seen the two of them in the same place at the same time.
Come to think of it. He always disappears this time of year. Anyway, glad to have you, Brooke. And we got a very special guest today on the podcast. And we committed a few months ago that we were going to have more and more outstanding citizens and leaders on the podcast. And so this is part of our commitment to you. Do you want to do this, or do you want me to? Or
go ahead. I do need to give a shout out, though, to my fairy godmother, Barb Weaver Smith, who is the reason that our very special guest is here. And she knows how much we love her and appreciate her. So.
Maybe she's Santa. I don't know.
No, she's more than Santa.
No, yeah, way beyond Santa.
Yeah, she's awesome.
Well, we have a very special guest today. Lynn Dunn is the head coach of the Indiana Fever women's basketball team in the WNBA. And I'm going to read a very quick bio here. Fourth head coach in Fever history. She's regarded as one of the most successful women basketball coaches in history. Chronicled as one of the foremost pioneers of women's basketball. And she has been proven a winner at both college and pro levels. Most recently, we are so proud, she brought home the WNBA championship this year with the Indiana Fever, the first in team franchise history.
Woo-woo.
And it was an exciting, exciting playoffs and series. And we're
awesome.
So grateful that you've come down to join us today.
Happy to be here.
So we are a firm that does sales coaching and leadership training, as you know. And our goal is to teach people that lead how to be inspiring leaders. Whether that is that your title is a leader or personal leadership, there's a lot of people that we work with that aren't necessarily a CEO or a vice president. They might be a salesperson, but we're trying to teach people how to be inspirational leaders on top of being technical leaders. So not so much, you know, how you teach people to play basketball, but how you motivate them and how you handle all the egos and personalities and the age differences and all of that kind of stuff. So the questions we're going to ask you today are mostly around that. If that sounds all right.
Okay.
All right. Before we start, would you tell us a little bit of your story, how you got here?
Well, I've been coaching women's basketball, college and pro, now for 42 years. I always loved sports. I grew up in a family, both mother and father had participated in sports in high school and college. And I loved all sports, volleyball, basketball, softball, tennis, everything. And unfortunately, I grew up in the South in Alabama before Title IX. It was against the law for girls to play high school basketball, so I was very frustrated at that. But then we moved to Tennessee, and my junior and senior year in high school, I did get to play high school basketball. Absolutely loved it. It was back in the day when the court was divided in half, and they wouldn't let us run full court, and, you know, they were afraid girls would sweat, and if they sweated, they'd faint and die and all that. And then I went off to college at UT Martin, and they still, this is in the 60s, we still, Title IX, of course, hadn't passed yet, and we did not have intercollegiate basketball for girls. We had a little bit of tennis, a little bit of volleyball, of course, you know, non-contact sports, and badminton. And I love to play badminton, so badminton and tennis were my sports. And then I think the year after I graduated was when they started the first ever intercollegiate team in 1970, and I graduated in 69, so just missed the boat there. And first job at Austin Peay, and I've been coaching basketball. When I started, I coached basketball, volleyball, and tennis, and taught classes. And then it evolved through the years after Title IX was passed and, you know, and implemented in 76, and then I just coached basketball, and I did that, I think, 26 years in college, and now I've been in the pros, I don't know, I've lost track, maybe 12, 13, 14, 15 years, something like that.
Wow.
What is there about coaching that you that really juices you? Because obviously it must, or you wouldn't have stayed in it.
Well, I really like winning.
Okay.
That's I really like winning, and I think in sports, similar to in the corporate world, you know, when you make the sale, you win. You know, when you win the game, you win in on the court or on the field or whatever. And I think when you win or when you make the sale, you know, all your hard work has paid off. You know, you've worked hard, you've been relentless, you've persevered, and then that success of winning that contest or winning that match or making that sale, that's what's so rewarding.
It's kind of proof that you've done the right work and preparing.
You're on the right track. Yeah. You've done the right thing. You've fought through whatever adversity that you have to deal with. And I think that happens, you know, in the business world as in the sports world. There's always adversity.
Yeah.
There's always things that go haywire or mess up or mistakes. And, you know, it's not whether you have problems. It's how do you deal with
it? Yeah, because even in the course of a game, there's ups and downs and swings and mood swings.
And don't forget the referees.
And the referee.
There's all kinds of things going on. And injuries and setbacks. And, you know, there's a constant thing that you have to – many, many constant things that you have to deal with. And that's why I think it's so important to be able to multitask.
Yeah.
When somebody tells me they can't multitask, and I'd say, well, what, you don't really want to be a coach, do you?
You said – actually, we were in another room preparing for – the interview, you said, winning at this level, meaning the world championship that you just brought, I'm going to keep saying that over and over again. That
it's okay.
Not,
I love to hear it.
I know. That it's not an accident. It's not a mistake. And I love that because I think sometimes in the business world, we hear a lot of victim language. Well, I could do that too if I only had this or if
well,
I
Well, that's
only
called
had
the
that.
Shoulda, woulda, coulda been.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sisters. Coulda been, woulda been, and shoulda been. And I call them the sisters, and that's always an excuse. I coulda been, I woulda been, or I shoulda been, and I'm like, I don't want to hear it. You know, I don't want to hear any been sister stories. But I do believe this. It's always been kind of one of my themes that success is never accidental. You don't accidentally win a championship. You don't accidentally win 20 games. You don't accidentally make the big sale.
Yeah.
You know, it's hard work. You know, you work hard, you work smart, and you work together. And I think a lot of people work hard, but maybe they don't work smart. Or maybe they work smart, but they don't work together. So I think there's a combination there of things that have to happen. And then you have a chance to be successful.
I've got a question on goal setting. You just finished the season just a few months ago, but you know, next season is on its way. How do you set goals? Maybe it's different after having won a championship, or maybe not. How do you set goals at the beginning of the year, not just in terms of what you want to do, but the kind of the how do we get to their goals? How do you do that for a team?
Well, I think we always, with the Fever, you know, we have very, very high goals. I mean, every year our goal is to win a championship. I mean, our goal is not just to get in the playoffs. Our goal is not just to win 20 games. Our goal is to win a championship. And then once you set that goal and you set it that high, then you have to have a plan. A lot of people have goals, but they don't have a plan. And I think two things have to happen. You have to write those goals down. You have to really be specific. Goal A, goal B, goal C. These are the goals that we have. And then I have to write down what is my plan to achieve them. And some of my plans have to be daily, weekly, monthly, you know, short-term, medium-term, long-term. And they have to all go together. But I really believe in writing things down. I'm a fanatic about writing things down.
Do you ask your players to do that too?
And then the players also do goal setting
and
write things down. And it's really great when the goals that I see for the team and the goals that the players see are very similar. And I think what they do a really good job of is being real specific about the little things that they can do. I can get 2 more rebounds every game, and that will make a difference the whole season.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
So don't ever lose sight of the value of doing the little things.
Yeah.
And I think that's sometimes where some coaches, you know, they're so caught up in the big thing. And they forget to do those little things. And if you've got 5 little things that have tremendous value and you do all of them really, really well, wow.
Yeah. We ran into that a little bit in the training business and leadership business, is that you have the big goal. Okay, I want to generate $3 million of sales, and kind of here's how I'm going to go about doing it. But then when it gets down to, okay, well, what does that email sound like that you're going to go send? That's a little thing that in the scheme of things, you say, well, that doesn't really matter how the email sounds. Actually, it does matter.
Yeah, but it could have shot you in the foot. And
that's right.
The door got slammed on your whole you know, presentation.
That's
so,
right.
Yeah.
It's a little
don't
stuff.
Underestimate
yeah.
the little things.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's very true in sports. You know, the footwork, or, you know, the free throw, the technique, or, you know, how you boxed out. You know, just little things. And then all of a sudden you clean that up and big things happen.
Yeah, that's good.
What's harder to coach, the physical aspect or the mental aspect?
you know, I think they're both very important. I don't know that there's one more that's harder to coach than the other. I think one thing with the physical aspect is that you, especially at the professional level, is that you have elite athletes. And, you know, they are mentally and physically and emotionally tough. And that's one thing I love about the pros. You know, I've coached at a lot of levels. I like coaching the cream of the crop, the top of the top, because they already bring to the table a lot of the things that you have to have. You know, your losers have been kind of weeded out through a year, or your halfways, or your some of the ways, or your, some of your Ben sisters could have, would have. You know, they've been weeded out. So I love what I get at the top to start with. And, and maybe sometimes you don't get that at the college level or the high school level.
That's a good point.
And that makes it a little bit more challenging. These people are self-motivated. This is their job. This is their career.
This has been the Advanced Selling Podcast, presented by Caskey Achievement Strategies, Indianapolis. Join us each time we record a new podcast by going to iTunes.